Is your love to Jesus unstoppable? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine anointing on this declaration of thy word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, let us look at one of the most lovely stories we find anywhere in the Gospels. It's found in Mark 14, verse 3. And this happened just the day before Jesus was crucified. It says, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her, this woman. And Jesus said, Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has brought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do good to them. But me ye have not always. She has done what she could. She's come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken for a memorial of her." Now this woman definitely gives Jesus her best, and Jesus liked it. Oh, what a picture. I believe there are not enough artists in the world to paint this picture. And what makes this picture most beautiful is if you consider what precedes and follows it. Well, what precedes it, this story, is Jesus speaking about the gloom and doom that is to come upon the world, a picture of calamities, of upheavals, of earthquakes, of famines, of persecutions, of brother rising up against brother, of imprisonments. A picture of false prophets, of the heavens being shaken and the stars falling, and of the great judgment day. This is what preceded this beautiful, lovely picture, this tranquil, peaceful picture of a woman at Jesus' feet. So in the preceding chapter, we have the Olivet Discourse. It focuses on all that is to come in time and space. The Olivet Discourse has the dimension of a macrocosm. It's a big picture. It's, my friend, covers everything from when Jesus spake it until the end of time. Then here we have a microcosm. Jesus in a little village and a woman at his feet, an uninvited woman. Then again, following this refreshing picture is nothing but pain and agony, the suffering of Christ on the cross. Oh, can you see how refreshing the story is? On that morning, 2 days before the Passover, before the crucifixion, the chief priests and the Pharisees got out of bed that morning and they hastily came together to figure out how they could possibly catch and kill Jesus. Murder was on their minds that early morning. But thank God, at the other end of town, a woman, a solitary woman, rose up early and she said to herself, "I shall leave no stone unturned this day until I find the lover of my soul. I shall worship him, I shall praise him, I shall give him the best I have in possessions and love." Hallelujah. So that morning the Pharisees had murder on their minds, and this woman had love and worship on her mind. Oh, how Jesus needed this woman on that day. She was a lover of God. She was a worshiper of God. Notice, this was not a Sunday. This was not a Sabbath. This was a worshiper who worshiped God every day of her life. There are people who only seek Jesus to worship him an hour or so on Sunday morning. But the whole life of this woman was a life of worship. Dr. A.W. Tozer said in his book, Renewed Day by Day, on June 4, "The woman did not go to Jesus to get something, but she went to Jesus to give him her all, her love, her devotion, her worship. She was not a getter, she was a giver." Oh, what a wonderful lady she was. It says in verse 3, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment." Now, let me ask you, where did she come from, and how did she find Jesus? I'll tell you how she found Jesus. The prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 29:13 of his book, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall seek for me with all your heart." Everyone, my friend, in the world, the pagan, the idol worshiper, the witch doctor, the backslider, the discouraged Christian, everyone in the world can and will find Jesus if he or she will seek him with all their heart. Nathanael found him. Nicodemus found him. The 10 lepers found him. The Greeks found him. The Syrophoenician woman found him. They all found him on the same formula as this woman did, seeking him with all their hearts. When you seek him with all your heart, you will not give up in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 days or 5 months or 5 years. You will seek him till you find him. And as your reach is extended, you will find there are things that you have to throw out of your life that hinder your search for Jesus. As you seek him with all your heart, you'll see that you need to drop this and drop that, or you will never get to him in your search. You have to drop undesirable baggage if you want to find him. That means anything from a critical spirit to a pet poodle that has become an idol to you. It all must go, or you will not find him. Let's look at the scholars, at the commentators, as to what they say about this woman at the feet of Jesus. One commentator says, "In looking at all the Gospels, we come to the conclusion that we really know nothing about this woman." Oh, my friend, please forgive me, but I say nonsense. We know who this woman is. She's a woman who knew her sins were forgiven. She was a woman who was a lover of Jesus. She was a woman who would give up everything in the world to find the Lord, to worship him. Oh, yes, we do know this woman. We know how she got to Jesus. She came as all others have come to Jesus, as I just said, seeking him with all her heart. Now then, how did she get into the house? There is a hospitality law in Israel. It is that anyone who comes to your house with a need, you have to let him in. But there was something beyond that. In this case, it was a woman who came, and she was alone. I would think, my friend, that she should hardly dare knock on the door of a stranger's house full of dignitaries meeting with another dignitary. So another element this woman had was perseverance, steadfastness in attitude. There was an awe in her that said, "If the whole world turns against me, I shall not be turned down." Jesus loved this woman. She demonstrated steadfastness. She had attitude. Can you say attitude? She had the right attitude. Again, she said, "If all the world comes against me, I shall not be turned down." Jesus loved this woman. She demonstrated the scripture that Jesus gave, "The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent will take it by force." I'll tell you, you have a dozen people like that, and they are worth more to God than 1,000 pew warmers who every Sunday just don't know if they might be able to get to church because it just might rain. Yes, the scholars say, we don't know anything about this woman. I say not so. We know a lot about this woman. She was courageous. She was not afraid to disturb a meeting. She came into the house, and before the doorkeeper could get her name and her purpose, she made a beeline to Jesus. Unstoppable, unstoppable, unstoppable. She did not come there to get blessed, but she went there to bless. She did not come to get something, but she came to give something. She did not come there to show off her dress or get a compliment about her hair or her looks. She came to love, to worship. This woman serves as an example to all worshippers of all times. For when it was all said and done, Jesus said in verse 9, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of as a memorial of her." In other words, Jesus picked her up and put her on a pedestal for all to see. Some say Jesus never elevated a human being. never elevate a human being. Listen, Jesus put this woman into a showcase for the whole world to behold forever. Now, let's get a little further into the story. Let it be noted also this woman had but one passion. That's to love Jesus. Loving Jesus brought her total satisfaction. And what she did physically by breaking the alabaster box of ointment, which was worth 1 year's salary, is only a reflection of what she did spiritually when she opened up her soul to let her love to Jesus pour down upon the sacred head that soon would be wounded, carrying a thorny crown. Oh, it says in verse 3, she broke the box. The scholars say that what it really means here is she broke the seal of that vessel. So, in doing so, she gave more physically and more spiritually than all the apostles and all the guests in that room put together. Oh, by so giving, we can say love was her passion. We live in a day, we have doctrines, and doctrines, I'm all for doctrines. The Bible tells us to have doctrines, but I'll tell you something that's bothered me for years, and that is, as a whole, we have done more damage with our doctrines than good. We have possibly done more harm to people than good to them with our teachings or doctrines. We have condemned more people with our doctrines than we've blessed. We have fought wars with our doctrines. We've created division with our doctrines and created confusion in the lives of many a people. When young men go to Bible college and seminaries, they learn doctrines. The Pharisees had their doctrines. The Sadducees, the scribes, the lawyers had their doctrines, my friend. I'd rather have the love of this woman, the love this woman had, than all the doctrines of the world. The church, the world, is not suffering for the absence of truth, of doctrines, but she's suffering for the absence of love for Jesus. Now, I said a moment ago that doctrines can discourage us. Are you saved? Yes. Are you sanctified? I don't know. I don't really know exactly where I am doctrinally about this. I'm confused. I'll tell you, my friend, there's something that does tell me where you are spiritually, and that is how much you love my Jesus. If you love Jesus with all your heart, like this woman did, I know where you are spiritually. You are as close to him as you possibly can be right now. Glory to God. So, my friend, in closing, I, Pastor Schultze, I'm over the hill, as they say. I'm close to the end of my life by far, though don't count me out yet. I'm closer to the end of my life by far than to the beginning of my life. And I'm looking forward to meeting Jesus soon. Honestly, I'm not really trying to figure out where I am doctrinally. I just want to be like this woman who poured out everything that she had at the feet of Jesus. You, too, be such one, my friend, and you'll be all right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time we had together contemplating one of the greatest souls that lived on the face of the earth, other than you, this woman with the alabaster box, oh Father. We don't know her name. It is a nameless person, but you said, I will elevate her and put her in the showcase for the world to see, because this is truly at the heart of Christianity, of what it's all about. Loving Jesus, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. To thee be all the praise and honor and glory, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Called Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you again next week at the same time on the same station. And by the way, if you're looking for a church, maybe you want to go where I'm going, the Kokomo Christian Fellowship here in Kokomo, Indiana. I'm Pastor Schultze. Goodbye now. Until then.